grace of God. So I was thinking about that in 1 Peter 4:10, where he talks about the manifold grace of God. God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And that word variety is the word for manifold. Where it says manifold grace, it's the same as the word variety. It means many various ways. He has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Are you called to be a speaker? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. So he talks about manifold grace. He talks about the gifts, and we want to think about that. It is varied. That's the main idea. It is varied. It is very different, and there's very many aspects of the grace of God. All kinds of aspects, and you'll see that as we share some things together about it. I wanted to talk about grace in creation, in devastation, and in restoration. In creation, we see a many colorful creation. You think about all that God created, all the different animals, you know, different birds, different bigger animals, all kinds of animals, and plants. And then when he got through, he said, it's good. All these variables. God is so variable. You think of the universe. How variable is the universe? Well, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. We can't even imagine how variable the universe is that God created. And of course, on Earth, the plants and the animals. And then he created man, and he said, with man and woman, it is very good. And you know the story, how he created Adam first, and then took a rib from Adam and created Eve, and so on. And we have man and woman, and he said, it is very good. God does things that are very good. In Psalm 104:24, it says, how manifold are thy works. Yes, they vary. They are variable. Interestingly, the word for variable is often translated many colorful. A lot of authors mention that. Now, I think that color actually is an illustration here. You know, you don't think of grace, oh yeah, grace is pink and grace is green and grace is blue. That's not the idea. But the idea is, it is variable in so many ways. It is different in so many ways. So think of color as an illustration because there are many colors. We'll talk about that in a minute. In Psalm 104:24, one translation says, O Lord, what a variety you have made. What a variety you have made. God's good at that, isn't he? Aren't you thankful for variety? What if everybody looked like me? What a mess that would be. Some that would be shaved, some that wouldn't, you know. But be a pretty boy. We'll talk about that later, Paul. Okay, so grace, he created a wonderful world. There's much variety to it. It is a manifold work of God. But unfortunately, his creation was devastated. And ever since the Garden of Eden, man has been devastating the creation of God. How bad is it, God? What's our water like? What's our air like? What's our ground like? You know, you wonder why people get cancer? I just saw the other day in the news they're saying that while our men were over in Iraq fighting a war, some of the Iraqis were burning these heaps of stuff, putting out black smoke. Guess what? Some of our guys are getting cancer from it now. So, devastation. Mankind listened to the devil. And there's a verse that says the devil has manifold temptations. God has manifold grace. The devil has manifold temptations. The good news is for every color of temptation the devil can throw at us, the Lord has a color of grace to handle it by the Spirit of God. We just need to let the Lord work, that's for sure. Let him work in our lives. So, sinner, God said, you will surely die. Man died on the spot. Spiritually, he began to die physically. Devastation of God's creation. Sin devastates, it ruins, it destroys to where people call evil good and good evil. You know, how could our world come to the place of calling abortion good and having a child evil? And how could people be so degraded in their mind and heart and soul that they would do something to a child? I can't comprehend it. There was an article in the news last week sometime about a stepdad. He's got this little kid, he's like 3 or 4 years old. You know what I'm talking about? Did you hear about it? The kid was jumping on the bed and he wouldn't quit. Because I don't suppose the dad could have figured out a way to handle it. He didn't. He got a gun and shot the kid. A little 3 or 4 year old. Is that how we discipline today? Oh, mercy. What's the matter with people? Devastation. You know what Cain was doing in the garden? Sharpening his knife. The two boys that were born to Adam and Eve, one of them was a murderer. Of the two first people born on earth, one of them was a murderer. Devastation. You know, God is good at creating. God is beautiful at creating. Man is good at devastating. And God knew that. He knew that would happen. Sin turns beauty into ashes until we groan and the creation groans with all the things that are happening today. The answer is God's manifold grace. What would he do? What would he do about sin? What would he do about devastation? Well, he's got the answer through the grace of God, and it begins right there in the Garden of Eden where it all started when he says, the seed of the woman is the answer. The seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. Eve will bear a child, not Eve, but Eve. Women will bear children, and eventually a child will be born from the lineage of Eve that will be the answer to devastation, that will be the answer to sin, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Lord of glory. How beautiful. Just think how amazing it is that God has an answer for sin. God has an answer for devastation, and it's in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Does he live in you? Have you invited him into your life? Well, I got saved when I was in the Air Force. I met a pastor. Isn't it amazing? I came up to Wenatchee for a few days off, and I was heading back to Tucson where I would be stationed, and God had a Baptist pastor on that train. Can you imagine that? I didn't know the guy. He'd never met me before in his life, but he says, where are you going? And I said, Tucson, Arizona, Davis Monthan Air Force Base. He says, I have a church there. Come out and visit me. Isn't that amazing? Talk about grace. Talk about variety. He just happened to be on that train, right? He just happened to talk to me. Well, the guy led me to the Lord, February 23rd, 1956, in the back of a Chevrolet panel outside the hospital where he had been recovering because of his back. He said, "Martin, come here, I want to talk to you." He was well enough to go outside. He got me in his doggone panel and wouldn't let me out. But that was good because he shared the gospel of Christ with me. God has variety. So God redeems. He says, "I'm going to, through the seed of the woman, I'm going to bring a redemption. I'm going to bring, by my grace, the color back into mankind. What we lost, the beauty that was gone, the devastation that was there, I'm going to take care of that through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." In Jesus, we are part of the beauty. He rescues us from the fall. Through him, the light of his glory shines in. Think about the light of the glory of God shines in through your life, through the variety of his grace. It's all by grace, isn't it? It's all by grace. A little girl wondered what a saint might be. One day her mother took her to a great cathedral to see the gorgeous stained glass windows with scenes from the Bible. When she saw the beauty of it all, she cried out loud, "Now I know what saints are. They are people who let the light shine in." Jesus Christ makes us saints so the light can shine in and through us, so that we are a revelation of the manifold grace of God. We are truly colorful in Jesus Christ. What a variety of people he brings to himself. Manifold grace in context, if you remember what we read in 1 Peter 4:10, in context of the word for manifold there and manifold grace, the context is God will give you a gift. God will give all his people spiritual gifts, and through that gift you can manifest the Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace that's so colorful brought into our lives means that God wants to share his variety of doing things through us, whether it's by speaking gifts or whether it's by ministering gifts. That's what this colorful grace is to do. It's to be used. It's to be, if we think of grace in this way, it is to empower us. It's not just of a variety, but it's a variety by the power of God to work in our lives to empower us. So when you think of grace, don't think of it just as something where God forgives us or favors us through what we don't have coming to us that he shares anyway by his grace, but it is also an empowerment. God wants to take that variety of people that he brings to himself and empower them to share, either by speaking ministries or by serving ministries. That's the context of manifold grace. So great variety, people coming to and serving God, knowing him by his manifold grace, by his grace entering into people's lives. By his grace, he shares and enables, by his gifts he gives to us. And when we are saved and controlled by the Spirit of God, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will not be devastators. God does not want us to be devastators. He wants to use us to renew, to make new, to share the glory of Christ. And when we walk in the Spirit and do not walk in the flesh, we will be controlled by the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but will be used of God to be creative and to be beautiful in Jesus Christ. Because we realize in ourselves dwells No good thing. Nothing. Zero. We were at John's brother's house, our son-in-law John. We were at his brother-in-law's, at his brother's house in Covington. Well, he's actually out in Maple Valley for Mother's Day. And I was thinking of these things about the flesh by something that happened that day when we were there. We didn't know some of the people very well. Some of them we hadn't even met. And we were sitting in one room talking. And I saw this little girl come, and she's about 5 years old. And her dad is Chinese, I believe. So she's not a real big-bodied person, very small, even small for a five-year-old. And she's never seen me before. Can you imagine this? She comes over to my chair, and she starts crawling up on me, and she says, "I am a zombie." Good Lord! Five-year-old zombies? Give me a break. And she didn't stop. She crawled around behind me. She grabbed me around the neck and all this zombie stuff. I thought of her when I thought about the works of the flesh. And a little while later, we were out. The kitchen was over here, and we were sitting over here. She was sitting over here having some cake or cake and ice cream, I think. And she's going, "Roar, roar, roar." Oh, man, what's happening now? And I go like, I was acting like she was scaring me to death. And what was really amazing is her mother says, "Don't encourage her." Well, don't encourage the old nature. It doesn't need any encouragement. But think of all the variables of the grace of God working together in the lives of his people. And I thought, you know that verse that says, all things work together for good? All things, all the variables? In God's grace, in all the variables of life, and all the variables of his grace, it all works together to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Put it all together in Jesus Christ. It will work. It will bring glory to God. It will use you for his glory. Because all the variables are there to work together for good, to the praise of God, to them who love him and are the called according to his purpose. How great are the variables? How colorful are they? When I was thinking about the variables of grace and the manifold or the many colorful grace, I thought about my old Mac computer. And it was an old one. It's the first computer I had. I think they ran a couple $1,000. It had megabytes. Have you ever heard of those? Well, now there's gigabytes and terabytes. Don't get bit by any of them, I'll tell you. But the interesting thing about the old Macintosh computer, I had a program with it that my son gave me called Photoshop, and you could turn to a thing on Photoshop for millions of colors. If Mac has millions of colors, how many does God have in his manifold grace? How many varieties of his grace could there possibly be? And I looked on a computer, my little iPad computer that I have, and I looked up colors and this kind of thing about computers and color, and it says like, now there's something like 16 million variables or shades of color. Well, there's a lot more variables with God than 16 million. Does God have some grace that can take care of your need if there's over 16 million shades? I hope so. There is not a thing in my life that God can't change with his variables if we walk with him. if we let him, if we want him. And I thought about colors. You know, some colors do have spiritual significance, although I think the colors that it's talking about with grace is just an illustration of how many there are. But there are some colors that have spiritual significance. Remember the colors in the tabernacle? The crimson, the blue, the purple. They all have significance. The rainbow. White, does white have a significance spiritually? Oh yeah, the saints will be clothed in white. Speaks of purity, speaks of righteousness. And why does it show God on the throne with a green rainbow round about the throne? There's spiritual significance to that, a green rainbow. So God is in the business of sharing his grace, his manifold grace, in so many ways, coming into people's lives, changing people's lives, bringing people to himself. And I was thinking, when you talk about millions and think of people and millions of people and the variations of people and the lives that God has touched through the years, how many people do you suppose God changed their lives before Israel became a nation, after Israel became a nation? How many millions? How many variables of his grace touching people's lives? There's so many stories. And the amazing thing is there are no two alike. Isn't that amazing? And then there was the kings and the priests and the judges and all these people, prophets and priests and kings and just person after person in the Old Testament that believed on God. What is with this thing? Here, we'll put it right there for a minute. But just a multitude of people. And we read about their lives. It's exciting to read about the variables of God's grace touching millions of people. Are there some unusual stories? Oh yeah. How about Ruth, a Moabitess? Who would ever think that Ruth would marry Boaz, a Moabite woman, and get this, and be in the line of Christ? Can you top that? Well, try Rahab. Rahab was a harlot. The spies came in and so on, you know, she turned to God. She'd heard about God. She was one that believed then on God. And she's in the line of Christ. Talk about millions and talk about variables and talk about differences and talk about the colorful grace of God. It's amazing. No two alike. So they were looking forward to the cross. How about the people who look back to the cross? What about the church? How many millions of people have been saved in the church? How many people are going to be saved in the tribulation period? Well, it starts with 144,000 Jews, and then there's a great Gentile multitude that no man can number. Talk about variables. Talk about grace. The manifold grace of God, and then the kingdom and the restoration. I thought about a variable in the church. It's talking about this guy that was... they lived in Africa, and they were very poor. And they didn't have much of anything, barely existing. And the father had to leave because of war. So this mother has these children, and she's trying to keep, you know, take care of them and keep them alive. And the kid said, she fed us chili peppers at night and then had us drink water so we'd feel like we were full. He said it didn't work very good. How would you like a meal of chili peppers and water because you didn't have anything else? That's variety, but not the kind I want. But anyway, then one of the boys got sickle cell anemia. And God's grace is working in the lives of these people. What a transformation. They had been going to church, but they hadn't been getting much out of it because it wasn't a church that preached the gospel or loved the Lord. And one pastor heard about these people. He heard about their suffering. He heard about their needs. And guess what he did? He got all the things they needed, all the medicines they needed, all that he could get that he could give them that they needed, and took it to them. And the kid that was sick got healed. And the mother says, guess what, boys? We're going to his church next Sunday. And one of the kids who went to that church and got saved, over 30 years later, he had built 20 churches, a large school, and a home for orphans. Talk about variety. Millions of people, millions of stories, no two alike, as God supplies. So it's amazing how God takes care of his people. It's amazing how he provides for us. So think about his grace in creation. Think about his grace as the world was devastated and how he renewed it through Jesus Christ. And of course, it's not totally renewed, but we have a restoration coming up. So we have a creation, we have a devastation, we have a restoration. God says, think of restoration in this way. How could you describe it any better than this? I make all things new. Is that a restoration? Complete. Whatever's been devastated is gone. Whatever's been lost is gone. Whatever's been discolored is gone. And by his grace, one of these days, he's going to restore everything. I make all things new. And those who know Jesus will be there to enjoy it. Amen. He says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Variety, manifold grace. What a God. What an amazing God we have. The kingdom for 1,000 years and then the total restoration, a new heaven and a new earth. And God will restore everything. It will be glorious and beautiful, all to his glory, and people will be there forever. God will see us through the storms of life, and then he will take us to be with himself. He will provide what we need, and he wants us to walk with him, and he wants to glorify himself through us, and then he's going to take us to be with himself. There's an article in the Daily Bread about these people were on this airplane, and it got very bumpy, and the captain interrupted, as they do, and say, you know, you better prepare, because we're going to go through some pretty bumpy stuff here. So get yourself adjusted and be ready for it. And of course, the whole thing began to pitch and roll and be whipped around. And amazing thing is, there's one little girl who sat through it all reading her book. After the plane landed, she was asked why she had been able to be so calm. This is what she said. My daddy is the pilot, and he's taking me home. Is the father your pilot? He's going to be taking you home to the glory of a God who has manifold grace. Just make sure that Jesus Christ is your pilot, and he'll take you home. We go through some bumps here, but he'll take you home. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your grace. It's so marvelous. We've experienced it. We've experienced it over and over and over again, and it's never going to run out. It's never going to come short. You have grace for all of our needs. Help us to remember that, Father. Help us to come and feast on the Lord's goodness. Come and feed ourselves on the abundant grace of God. And then we look forward to that day, Father, when you take us home to be with yourself forever. Until then, let us enjoy who you are. Let us live and walk with you, and let us share the abundance of your grace through the gifts that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, are you the official closing person?
Unless you want to do it.
Go ahead.